This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Ending the blockade. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Sabino on this Monday, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Commercial and passenger traffic resumed last night on a bridge connecting Detroit with the Canadian border city of Windsor after a week of trucker protests.
President Biden tells Ukraine's Zelensky the U.S. will respond swiftly and decisively to any further Russian aggression.
The Rams beat the Bengals 23-20 in Super Bowl 56 with receiver Cooper Kupp named MVP.
And believe it or not, your used car might be worth more today than when you bought it.
You've got record low inventories across the country and alongside this pent-up demand, which has brought this whole market to a boiling point where it's really difficult to find an affordable car on a lot, and it's made the value of these existing cars even greater.
Street Journal will be along in about 20 minutes with that story. North America's busiest trade link has reopened for traffic, ending a six-day blockade after Canadian police cleared protesters fighting to end COVID restrictions. The Detroit International Bridge Company, which operates the Ambassador Bridge, said all lanes were open for traffic as of 11 p.m. Eastern Time last night. Windsor Police Chief Pamela Mizuno says authorities cleared protesters and vehicles that occupied the bridge after a court order on Friday.
What was achieved today, up to this point, is a huge step in the right direction. Officers today made several arrests and were able to seize vehicles of demonstrators in the area.
Police stepped up their presence yesterday with more than 50 vehicles, including cruisers, buses, and an armored car, as the number of protesters dropped to about 45 from 100 on Saturday. The blockade had choked the supply chain for Detroit's carmakers, forcing Ford, GM, and Toyota to cut production. Some Canadian auto parts suppliers had also begun to reduce production because they had been unable to ship orders to the U.S. President Biden told Ukraine's leader the U.S. and its allies would respond quickly to any further Russian aggression against his country as Russia deployed some of its most powerful weapons and best-trained battalions around Ukraine. Ukrainian President Zelensky said U.S. support would allow Ukraine to prevent panic among its population. Before Biden's hours-long phone call with Zelensky yesterday, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan renewed the Biden administration's warnings of a possibly imminent Russian invasion of Ukraine as Russia continued to insist it has no such plans.
As far as we're concerned, the United States of America, diplomacy is still open and available. But if Russia chooses to move, we're prepared to respond.
A day earlier, Biden's warning to Russian President Putin of swift and severe costs if Russia moves against Ukraine produced no change in the Russian stance. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
This is not the last president America will have. If Russia invades the Ukraine, you will destroy the U.S.-Russian relationship for decades, and every president in the near term will be put in a box when it comes to dealing with Russia. So I hope Putin understands that.
The fear of conflict has led to canceled flights to Ukraine and heightened volatility in energy and financial markets.
A Lombardi Trophy for Los Angeles. 23-20 is the final on their home field here at SoFi Stadium in Super Bowl 56. The Los Angeles Rams are world champion.
Nicole on ESPN LA 710 as the Rams rallied late to beat the Bengals to deliver a Hollywood ending to the Super Bowl, securing the franchise's first championship since returning to the West Coast 6 years ago. With his back against the wall, Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford kept his poise to engineer a 15-play drive that ended with a one-yard touchdown pass to Super Bowl MVP Cooper Kupp with 1:25 left to play.
You know, I was so happy when I came to the line of scrimmage, they were playing man coverage. I was going to put it up to my guy, let him go make a play, and that's what he did.
Rams defensive lineman Aaron Donald wrapped up Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow on the final play to seal the win. With the victory, the Rams joined last year's Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the only teams to win a Super Bowl on their home field. The franchise's only other Super Bowl championship came 22 years ago when they were based in St. Louis. It's 11 minutes past the hour. Coming up, a chat with Congressman Adam Smith about Ukraine.
Dell Technologies President's Day business sale has arrived. For a limited time, save up to 45% on all our latest gear to work from anywhere with fast, free shipping. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, so now's the time for incredible savings on PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping and quick installation and setup through Dell Installation Services. Get started by shopping online or by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Cutting through the clutter to bring you the people and stories that matter to you. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino on this Valentine's Day. The chair of the House Armed Services Committee is adamant that the Ukraine standoff will not lead to a war between the U.S. and Russia. More with Democratic Congressman Adam Smith of Washington with this morning's Gordon Deal.
We're speaking with Congressman Adam Smith, Democrat from Washington, who chairs the House Armed Services Committee, talking about Russia and Ukraine. Right out of the gate, do you think Russia is going to invade in some way, shape, or form?
I don't think we know yet, and I would not say definitively yes. I think Putin is putting himself in a position where if he chooses to do that, he can do it quickly. And I think there is considerable risk that he will, but I think there is still time to achieve a different outcome and to stop that from happening.
Talk about the sanctions that he could encounter or would encounter if he were to do something. How crippling would they be?
If we go as far as we could, they would be very crippling, because what the U.S. has is we have not quite a stranglehold, but close to it on the financial world. And if we tell businesses that if you do business with these Russian oligarchs or these Russian businesses, then you will not be allowed to use the U.S. financial system, they're in a world of hurt. So they could be really, really crippling. Now, there's collateral damage to that. It wouldn't just impact Russia. It would have a ripple effect on other economies, including ours, including Europe's, which we have to weigh. But we certainly have at our disposal the ability to impose sanctions that would be devastating to the Russian economy. I don't know that that is our strongest argument for deterring Putin. I think our strongest argument is if Putin wants NATO and the U.S. out of Eastern Europe, the more he threatens Ukraine, the more we're going to come in and build stronger alliances with Romania and Poland and the Baltics and others.
But I guess at this point, weapons and then troops in places like Romania or Poland are as far as we'll go. We're not sending troops into Ukraine. I think that's been made pretty clear.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree with President Biden's decision on that. We are not going to enter a shooting war with Russia that could drag us into World War III over Ukraine. And we shouldn't. But there are other ways we can work with our allies and use diplomacy to deter Russian aggression in Ukraine. And that's what we're working on right now.
We're speaking with Adam Smith, Congressman from Washington State. He chairs the House Armed Services Committee. As you discuss this situation here, you try to guess, I guess, Mr. Putin's next move. How at this point do you think he could possibly save face if he's not going to invade? Because you got a couple of non-starter situations, right, with regards to NATO and things like that.
Yeah, I think that's the crucial question. I mean, if in fact you're looking for peace or looking to resolve differences, you always got to have off-ramps. Okay, what's the way out of this? I mean, and that's what we really need to be thinking about now. Certainly, I mean, part of Putin's pitch here is he's certainly gotten the entire world's attention. Because in addition to wanting to push NATO and the U.S. more out of Europe and to increase, well, the other thing he wants to do is increase Russian influence. And certainly everyone in the world's coming to talk to Putin. So Putin can already say that he has, you know, gotten people to pay attention to what Russia is concerned about. I think there are other things we can do on arms control agreements. If Putin is genuinely concerned about Russian security, there are certainly things we can do to help reassure that security and reassure our own security along the way.
Yeah.
It's just that part of it can't be ceding Eastern Europe back to Russia.
Are you of the mindset, too, that if Mr. Putin were to do something in Ukraine, President Xi and China might do something with or to Taiwan?
I don't think the two things are related in that way. I mean, the risk that President Xi is going to look at Taiwan exists regardless of what happens in Ukraine. I will say, and this is really important policy, you know, people talk about re-entering great power competition, but that means a lot of different things. But traditionally, what great power competition has meant is that the great powers treat all the other countries like pawns in their game. That, you know, you want to dominate this country or that country to put them into your sphere of influence. What we're trying to do is we're trying to stop that.
Finish up, if you would. I thought I read that there's been this recent concerted effort by the Biden administration, maybe even your committee, to be upfront about the intel that the U.S. receives with regards to Russia. Like there was something floated Friday, right, that he may invade during the Olympics. Do you know, has that been a deliberate thing to try to be upfront with information?
Yeah, no, certainly. I mean, yeah, and there's a we classify information, you know, the sensitivity of it. The primary reason we classified information, by the way, is as they say in the intel game, you got to protect sources and methods, you know, because people are going to say, well, how the hell do you know this? And then they're going to figure out how we're gathering our information and what sources we might have. But I think what we've learned here is keeping all that stuff secret, in many cases, hurts us.
Democratic Congressman Adam Smith of Washington State with this morning's Gordon Deal. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The busiest trade link in North America has reopened for traffic. Canadian police have cleared and arrested the final few dozen protesters occupying the Ambassador Bridge connecting Detroit and Ontario, Canada. It marks the end of a six-day blockade sparked in response to Canada's new vaccine or quarantine mandate for truck drivers entering the U.S.
Number two.
Tensions continue to build on the Ukrainian border as officials warn of a Russian invasion at any time. Over the weekend, President Biden held separate calls with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Mr. Biden warned Russia of quote-unquote swift and decisive punishment should it invade. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke about Putin's mindset.
He has to know that war is not an answer. There are very severe consequences to his aggression, and that we are united in using them.
The U.S. estimates there are now more than 130,000 Russian forces staged on three sides of Ukraine.
Number three.
On the COVID front, encouraging trends continue. New cases in the U.S. are down 67% over the last 2 weeks. Much of the decrease has come in eastern states, where officials are defending decisions to draw back policies like mandatory masking in schools. One of those states is New Jersey, where Phil Murphy is governor.
What I am opposed to are other states, I hate to get political, but they're overwhelmingly red states, that have banned masks and then forced districts to sue them to allow them to wear masks. I think that's crazy. We did it, I think, the right way.
New cases in New Jersey are down 90% from their Omicron peak. Two men in Mississippi are facing criminal charges after they allegedly shot at a FedEx driver while he was delivering packages. The two white men, Brandon Case and his father Gregory Case, allegedly chased down the black driver, Demontario Gibson, as he drove away from a drop-off. Gibson wasn't hurt, though his van and some packages were struck by bullets. Gibson's attorney has called for the case to be investigated as a hate crime. And we're still buzzing after last night's Super Bowl. The LA Rams rallied late to top the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20. It was a life-changing moment for many, but perhaps none more so than Rams wide receiver Van Jefferson and his family. Midway through the game, Jefferson's wife, Samaria, went into labor in the stands. Shortly after his team won, Van Jefferson was seen sprinting through a stadium tunnel en route to the hospital. And at 9:17 p.m. local time, about 2 hours after the final whistle, Samaria Jefferson gave birth to the couple's second child, a boy. Both mom and baby are doing well.
I can't believe she was in the stands. Oh, that must have been terrifying.
A trooper.
I'll say. Thanks, Tom. Coming up, the soaring value of used cars.
We all have a lot going on. The last thing we need is to spend too much energy choosing what to wear. But if you have a closet full of Cuts clothing, it's easy. Throw on anything and you'll look good. How do they do it? Every Cuts shirt is designed for a modern, tailored fit. They're insanely comfortable. I can't believe how soft their shirts feel. Between the fabric and the fit, they're the most comfortable shirts I've ever worn. Plus, Cuts has all the essentials for looking sharp, like tees, hoodies, polos, and more. And they reinvented them all. from how they're cut to the revolutionary fabrics they use. They won't shrink, pill, or fade over time in the wash. Mine still look and feel great. Try them for yourself and save. Join hundreds of thousands of guys who've made the simple decision to elevate their wardrobe with Cuts. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
The price of used cars is rising so much, your car might be worth more than when you bought it. More from the Wall Street Journal's Nora Eckert. Nora, what's been happening with the price and supply of used cars?
So used and new car prices are at an all-time high right now, and that's really due to a few driving issues. One is you've got this prolonged inventory crunch on cars, and that's really been propelled by supply chain issues. So you've got record low inventories across the country, and alongside this pent-up demand, which has brought this whole market to a boiling point where it's really difficult to find an affordable car on a lot. I mean, even finding a car is difficult. And it's made the value of these existing cars even greater.
In your story, did you talk to people who have done this, and how did it go?
So I talked with a man named Bruce Steinhardt. He's an 89-year-old Florida resident, and he was surprised that he was able to basically break even when he bought out his lease. About 3 years ago, he leased a Hyundai Sonata, and when he sold that car, he bought out the lease and sold the car and was able to just about break even. He said it's literally crazy. He was so surprised that he was able to break even on that lease in his car. And we have heard stories, too, of folks who buy a car and a few months later are getting offers for more than they paid initially for the vehicle.
Nora, do you find that it applies to just certain models and certain recent years, or do we not know that?
So it does depend on the model year of the vehicle. So what we're seeing is that if you bought a vehicle recently, so in the last 10 months or so, you've really only seen a period of appreciation since that purchase. If you have an older model of your vehicle, it's not like you haven't seen any rise. So we have seen this decreased depreciation in the last year.
We're speaking with Nora Eckert of the Wall Street Journal. Nora, I have even received emails about every other week from the dealer that I bought my car from 5 years ago saying, hey, sell your car back to us. I mean, are dealers aggressively looking for these?
Well, dealers are, you know, under a crunch to get cars on the lot. That's something that we've heard from dealers and buyers alike, that the lots are bare. And dealers are having to battle more for vehicles at auction even. That didn't used to be quite this heated of a dynamic. So I don't know if I'd describe it as aggressive. I think that the customers are actually kind of surprised and in some cases, you know, overjoyed to get these generous offers on vehicles. But the issue is, say someone does trade in that car, it's like, what do you do after that?
Do we see any changes going forward? Is this situation getting better at all in the last couple of months?
Yeah, so analysts are, you know, a bit fuzzy on when this is going to ease up. Of course, we don't expect cars to be an appreciating asset like a house long term. It's not as if this is a permanent change. Predictions are that a bit later in the year, the market will cool down. We are seeing in the depreciation data or the residual value data a slight top off in the last month or so, but it's too soon to say if we've reached the peak yet.
Thanks, Nora. That's Nora Eckert from the Wall Street Journal. It's coming up on 30 minutes past the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
The way you use the internet has changed dramatically over the last decade, but security tools, for the most part, have stayed the same. Between your photos, finances, devices, and connections, your world is more online than ever. Aura provides complete digital security all in one easy-to-use app. Aura protects you from the worst of the internet so you can still enjoy the best of it with digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal info, and tech safe from threats. It gives me peace of mind to know Aura protects me from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more with one simple subscription. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support is ready to help. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com. AAUS.com/Gordon to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. That's AURA, AURA.com/Gordon. Aura, the new standard in digital security.
We don't take sides. We deliver the information you need to start your day. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
On this Monday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Savino. Some of our top stories and headlines. The Ambassador Bridge between Detroit and Windsor opens to traffic after a seven-day trucker standoff. 15-year-old figure skater Kamila Valieva has been cleared to compete at the Olympics despite a failed drug test. Coinbase's bouncing QR code Super Bowl ad was so popular it crashed the app. And the true spirit of athletic competition shines through at the Olympics. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. It's time for Dell Technologies President's Day deals on business PCs. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Rounding into the beginning of year three of the pandemic, some people are still hoarding groceries. Why? Here with some insight is psychologist Catherine Athens, who holds doctorates in both clinical and health psychology. Catherine, what's going on here?
People have gotten in this habit of scarcity and think that they better get theirs before anybody else does, and they can't trust the supply chain. As the news has been saying, television has been showing empty cases in grocery stores, empty shelves, and that scares people to death. So people are buying from fear and panic. And what happens there is it gets reinforced. And when you're in fear and panic, it has a hard time using your cognitive brain, your logical mind.
What's the difference between preparing and hoarding? And when do you know if you've crossed the line?
Well, when you have to buy two new sheds for your backyard or a huge new shed for your garage so you can fill it up with canned goods, toilet paper, and tissues. I mean, it's one thing to have a supply on hand, maybe for a month or so extra, and it's another thing to go out and stuff spaces with foods and supplies.
We're speaking with psychologist Catherine Athens. Catherine, is some of this actually related to money? Because when we buy in bulk, we save money. Is there an upside here at all?
Well, I don't see as an upside. You can buy smaller quantities in bulk and save some money, obviously, you know, but certainly you don't have to get 100 packs of 6 toilet papers anywhere. I mean, that's going overboard. I think if you think about maybe a month's extra supply of water, of food, of canned goods, rice, beans, pasta, that's okay. In case there's some sort of emergency, you have that food source in hand. But when you start thinking in years, that's going overboard.
Have we ever in history seen anything like this before, like during war times or anything like this before?
Well, you know, I really don't know. I would imagine that during war times, people hoarded food and whatever they could get. And certainly we see in the movies, we see the black market selling different foods, you know, and exchanging that for information and all that kind of stuff. So, but to this extent, I don't believe we've ever seen this kind of mass hysteria.
How do we get out of such a cycle?
Well, we go with a friend and we go to a large discount store. You know, I won't mention all the names of them. And we look and we buy one. We don't buy 10. And then we make ourselves go out to the car and drive away. So it's reprogramming, kind of programming in reverse. and make sure the friend won't let you buy anything more than you really need for 1 month and get you in the habit again of just buying smaller quantities. And definitely, you know, we have these large food stores that have large packages of paper towels and so forth, but buy one pack, maybe two, but not 20, not 30. So if you can do that, you're going to reprogram your body to calm down, see how you feel, understand what is that fear about. Generally, the fear is about something else, and it's not necessarily about scarcity, but it manifests in scarcity. Maybe there's not enough love in someone's life or enough people, and so buying, having all this extra fills a need, well, supposedly fills a need, or is trying to fill some sort of need.
Thank you, psychologist Catherine Athens. It's 20 minutes before the hour. Coming up, proposals, births, and boredom at the Super Bowl.
So I got to say, 2022 kind of feels like Groundhog Day. Wake up, read a headline about inflation, repeat, right? Inflation on the rise at the fastest pace in 40 years. But you don't need to check the price of organic eggs to know it's probably not the best time to put all your investment eggs in one basket. I'm talking about diversifying your portfolio. And thanks to today's sponsor, Masterworks, you can now add an exciting asset class to your portfolio, blue chip artwork. Masterworks is the new investing platform that lets everyone invest in contemporary art from icons like Picasso, Monet, and Warhol. In fact, early investors already have seen over 30% net annualized IRR in 2020 and 2021 from the sale of two paintings. No wonder the Wall Street Journal recently called the art market among the hottest markets on earth. Our listeners can join over 300,000 members and access their latest offerings at masterworks.art/Gordon. That's masterworks.art/Gordon. See important disclaimers at masterworks.io/disclaimer.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Savino. Time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, there were plenty of offbeat storylines related to the Super Bowl. Let's start with one that combines the quasi-holidays of Super Bowl Sunday and Valentine's Day. Minutes after earning a Super Bowl ring, Rams safety Taylor Rapp gave out a ring, getting down on one knee on the field at SoFi Stadium and proposing to his girlfriend Danielle in front of fans, friends, and media members. Thankfully for him, she said yes. And as Dom noted earlier, wasn't the only addition to the Rams family on Sunday, with the wife of wide receiver Van Jefferson going into labor during the game, meaning that he had to skip the postgame celebration and rush to the hospital.
Sometimes I wonder if those things are really impromptu or it's pretty planned.
What's that?
The proposal?
Well, I mean, you have to imagine that he didn't do that. He wouldn't have done this if they had lost the game, right? If they were dejected and had just lost the game, you can't imagine that they would do it at that point. I think his plan probably was, if we win the game and everybody's happy, we're going to, you know, she's going to come out on the field and celebrate with me. I'm going to get down on one knee. I don't think he just decided on the spot to do it for sure.
Yeah. They've been together since high school. I'm just wondering if it was a surprise to her in any way.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. He knew she was going to say yes, because you don't do that in front of millions of people like that, you know, unless you know for sure that you're getting a yes.
Yep.
Yeah. He didn't just meet her like a couple of months ago. This has been pre-planned, the whole thing. And if you weren't familiar with Rams offensive tackle Andrew Whitworth before this weekend, you probably are now. The 40-year-old is, for now, the oldest player in the league after Tom Brady retired. He played for the Bengals for years before joining the Rams 4 years ago, beating his old team last night in the Super Bowl, and he was named the Walter Payton Man of the Year in the NFL for his great work off the field. But as any parent will tell you, all of that doesn't mean a hill of beans to your kids, who can be just as bored by their dad, even if he's an NFL star playing in the Super Bowl. This was on display during the game when NBC cameras panned over to show Whitworth's family in the stands at SoFi Stadium, featuring one of his kids not paying attention and seemingly engrossed in a large magazine or book. Some on social media joked that maybe the young Whitworth was thumbing through the Bengals playbook. Others joked that maybe they were multitasking, maybe working on some homework for school this week. And others pointed out rightly that even though the kid wasn't paying attention to the game, at least they were reading,
and not playing with a phone.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect, yes.
Yes, yes. Yes, reading. If you're
nothing
not gonna
wrong with that.
If you're going to watch Dad, catch up on some homework for the week.
Yeah, always bring a book to the game. You never know when it's going to go south.
Yes, I could see you definitely bring books to games, don't you? I mean, that's not even a question. Every time you go to a game, during timeouts, you're thumbing through a book, aren't you?
Well, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, this kid's going to join you in a few years for some games.
All right, thanks, Mike. Coming up, a look at the diet of an NFL champ.
Dell Technologies President's Day business sale has arrived. For a limited time, save up to 45% on all our latest gear to work from anywhere with fast, free shipping. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, so now's the time for incredible savings on PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping and quick installation and setup through Dell Installation Services. Get started by shopping online or by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
The news, first, fast, and free of noise. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Savino. Well, high-protein diets are a staple among NFL players who want to build muscle and strength without gaining fat. But one of the league's strongest and leanest players defies that norm in favor of his own carb- and fat-heavy diet. Business Insider says Aaron Donald, who helped lead the Rams to the Super Bowl title last night, adheres to a strict diet and lifestyle that is irregular for the average person. But the 30-year-old 280-pound defensive lineman isn't focused on protein. Donald's diet consists of just 20% protein, while the rest is 30% fats and 50% carbs. In a day, he consumes 245 grams of protein, 616 grams of carbs, and 164 grams of fat to meet his caloric threshold. Donald needs to consume several servings of certain dishes to meet his nutrition requirements. His 245-gram protein threshold can consist of 6 cups of chicken meat, 12 smoothies with proteins, and 30 glasses of milk. His carb threshold can consist of 15 cups of pasta or rice and 20 cups of popcorn. Donald Chef says his job is demanding but fulfilling. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Canadian officials have ended a week-long demonstration blocking a crucial roadway connecting the U.S. and Canada. Police say the Ambassador Bridge has reopened to traffic after they arrested the final few dozen protesters blocking the busiest land border crossing in North America. Here's Windsor Police Chief Pamela Mizuno.
Any unlawful activity in the area will not be tolerated, and officers will take the necessary action to keep the peace and traffic flowing. There will be criminal consequences for those who interfere with or interrupt traffic flow.
The protests stemmed from the quote-unquote trucker protests sparked in opposition to Canada's mandate requiring vaccination or a two-week quarantine for truckers crossing the border.
Number two.
Get out of Ukraine. That is the warning from U.S. officials to American citizens in that country. Intelligence experts now warn Russia could invade at any time with more than 130,000 troops staged on three sides of Ukraine. In separate calls over the weekend with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, President Biden again pushed for de-escalation, though he did warn Putin of the costs Russia would face should it invade.
Number three.
For the second straight season, an NFL team has won the Super Bowl in its home stadium. The Los Angeles Rams won the big game in comeback fashion last night, defeating the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20. LA quarterback Matthew Stafford orchestrated a 15-play drive late in the fourth quarter, capped off by a touchdown toss to Cooper Kupp with a minute 25 to go. Here's Rams head coach Sean McVay.
I can't say enough about the resilience of this team. Guys stepping up when they had to, and it's going to sound like a broken record, but that's what makes this team great. That's why they're world champs.
Kupp won Super Bowl MVP with his 92 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. Hollywood is mourning the loss of producer and director Ivan Reitman, who died over the weekend. The son of Hungarian Jews who survived the Holocaust, Reitman emigrated to Canada at the age of 4. He went on to create some of the greatest comedies of the 80s and 90s, Ghostbusters, Space Jam, National Lampoon's Animal House, and Kindergarten Cop, just a few of them. Ivan Reitman was 75. And today is Valentine's Day. One Massachusetts police department wants to make sure its residents don't forget. The Whitman Police Department shared a PSA over the weekend reminding people, particularly us forgetful gentlemen, to at least pick up a card. As the post says, a card is, quote, a folded piece of paper with pictures on the front, end quote. The post also advises men to stay focused and avoid the urge to get sidetracked at a hardware store on the way to the pharmacy. Whitman PD says the PSA was an effort to keep the peace.
Well, it's a little sexist, but it's kind of funny.
At the very least, male or female, pick up a card for your special someone, please.
There you go. Your message from Dom today. Pick up a card. Thanks, Dom. Coming up, the true spirit of the Olympics.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
After taking home cross-country skiing gold in the men's 15-kilometer race at the Beijing Olympics, Finland's Ivo Niskanen waited for the final competitor to cross the finish line before celebrating his victory. Niskanen blew away the field, coming in a whopping 23 seconds faster than the second-place finisher. But it was Niskanen's Olympic spirit that captured the hearts of people across the globe as the 30-year-old waited for Colombia's Carlos Quintana to complete the race. Quintana finished last of 95 skiers. Niskanen emphasized the need to respect all athletes because they have put in blood, sweat, and tears for qualifying for the Olympics. Of his decision to wait for Quintana to finish, Yahoo Sports says Niskanen noted that all athletes must respect each other as everyone has worked hard to be here. He said, "You have to show this kind of respect at the Olympics toward countries that don't have much budget to get the best results, unlike the best nations." The 36-year-old Quintana also spoke about the heartwarming moment, thanking Niskanen for his professionalism. This is Niskanen's second medal in Beijing after winning bronze in the 30-kilometer skiathlon. That'll do it for this hour. For Dom Savino, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.